Welcome to the Tanakh podcast. Today, the final chapter of Zechariah, chapter 14, Perek Yudalad. Our learning is dedicated to the success and safety of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, to the swift return of all of the hostages, and to the healing of all those wounded in our war in Gaza. And I have to say, I'm very, very excited because we are now almost at the end of Nevi'im. Thank God I've managed to record every single perek of Nevi'im from Sefer Yoshua. And today we are finishing Sefer Zechariah, three more chapters. And we are finishing Nevi'im, so yishar koach to you all for listening, and very excited to finish. And this is certainly a cause for celebration. Okay, chapter 14, we are Bayomahu, on that day of the apocalyptic war on Jerusalem, and we're going to see this chapter split into four scenes. Number one, the attack on Jerusalem of the nations, Kol HaGoyim. Number two, God's response. Number three, the defeat and terror of the enemy. And number four, the universal recognition and the worship of God by the entire globe. This is the Haftarah of Shabbat of Sukkot, the Shabbat of Sukkot. All of the Haftarot of Sukkot are very apocalyptic. Okay. Let's take a look at the chapter and see what we can say about it. Hine yom ba l'ashem v'chulak shalech b'kirbech. First thing that happens is that Jerusalem is attacked and people start looting the city. Gets even worse, right? V'nil kadah ha'ir, the city is captured. V'nashasu ha'batim, the city is looted. V'anashim tishkavna, there is rape. And half the city are taken in captivity. So that's pretty terrible. Yeter ha'am lo yikareit mana ir. The Jews are still in the city. And now, stage two. V'yatza ha'shem v'nilcham b'goyim ahem k'yom ha'lachamo b'yom krav. God goes into action and starts fighting. What happens? God stands on the Mount of Olives on Har HaZeitim, and the mountain splits into two. And as a result of this, first of all, there's an earthquake. People are totally terrified. And two things emerge at this moment. First thing is a sense of some sort of brilliant light. So on the one hand, there is some sort of light. We'll talk about this light or this energy which emerges in a second. And the other thing which comes out as a result of the mountain splitting apart is Maim Chayim. Water emerges from Jerusalem. Half of it goes to the Dead Sea. Half of it goes to the Mediterranean Sea. And in fact, this will be Bekaitz of Ahoref. There'll be water all the time. And as a result of this, this will make the land fertile. So we're in the middle of a war, and yet we talk about the land being renovated and suddenly having a permanent water source, so much so that Yisov kol ha'aretz ka'arav dam, Yigevelurim mo negev Yerushalayim, V'rama v'yashvatech deha, Nimishar binyamin ha'makom shar harishon. The land will be incredibly fertile, and v'yashva Yerushalayim lebetach, Jerusalem will be secure. But now, in verse 12, we turn to the Magefa Asher Yigof Hashem, the great plague that will strike the enemy. Hamik Besarov Hu Omed Al Raglav, his skin will melt away when he's standing. Enav Timakna Bechorehem, his eyes will simply decompose in their sockets. Ola Shemot Tinat Befihem, the mouth will melt away. They will be in a state of confusion. This will happen to all of the enemy. And I should mention that the key phrase which is used in the center of this drama of the war is in Pasuk Tet, a Pasuk you all know. Bayomahu Yehye Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, God will be king over the world. And on that day, God will be one. His name will be one. Why is that significant? Because here we get to the final scene of the Perek. And that is that whoever is left of all the nations after this great apocalyptic war will come every single year to pay homage to God in Jerusalem on Chag HaSukkot. And it says whoever doesn't come to Jerusalem on Sukkot, right, will get no rain. And even Egypt, the city of the great river, will come up for Chag HaSukkot to herald God and to bring their sin offerings. And we have this image of all the world coming to for Sukkot. And everything in Jerusalem being the Kol Sir B'Yerushalayim V'Yehuda Kodesh. Everybody's bringing so many sacrifices that everything will be holy in Jerusalem. Every single vessel in Jerusalem will be holy. And that's pretty much it, a sense of universal recognition of God. So what do we make of all this? So first, let's say this. There's nothing natural here in this chapter. Israel isn't the one who fights the wars. This is Star Wars, God's wars, laser lights, splitting mountains, gushing water. It's almost like a fantasy war, Armageddon, Gog or Magog stuff. It's violent, brutal, painful. But God manifests his power. And here I will say that the drama of Tanakh seems to have two possible tracks. One track is natural. The other is miraculous or supernatural. I don't know what will determine one or the other. I'm not sure, but I can certainly see that Sefer Zechariah has almost been supernatural from beginning till end, constantly promising that God will come back. God will defend Jerusalem in fire. God will purge Jerusalem, flying the evil out of the city. You know, Tanakh definitely has scenes in which the nations proclaim God in peace and calm, and Israel exists through natural means, but that doesn't seem to be the world of Zechariah. And this other narrative is not only expressed in Zechariah, it's expressed by many Nevi'im that we've already learnt, and also in Pirkei Tehillim. For example, I don't know, Yadber Amim Tachtenu Ulumim Tachat Raglenu, Perek Mem Zion in Tehillim, or Kol Hashem Bekoach, Kol Hashem Shober Arazim, etc., etc. History ends, according to this narrative, with Am Yisrael, with Jerusalem, impossibly attacked, the world in disrepair, and it's only God who can step in and make order. The second point I'll make is about the universal and the particular. It's fascinating to witness this universal recognition of God at the end of the Perek. Sukkot is the festival that represents the universal. On Sukkot, there are Shivim Parim, 70 sacrifices which are brought, and according to tradition, these represent the 70 nations of the world. Sukkot is also the Chag B'Chag Nidonim Alamayim. It's about rain, another universal need. Most of Tanakh deals with the Jewish people. But let's recall that the Torah begins with creation, with the flood, not with the Jewish people, with Migdal Babel, with the notion of the Tower of Babel. These are all universal stories. All this before the spotlight turns to Avraham Avinu and the Jewish people. But Judaism never relinquishes that universal focus. Nations aren't expected to be Jewish, but recognition of God is expected at some level, and its corollary is an ethical way of life. So when Sefer Zechariah ends on this point, it's going back to the beginning. Torah begins with the universal focus, and so does Sefer Zechariah. Okay, that's it for Zechariah, and that's it for now. And please God, tomorrow we start the final book of Tanakh, which is fabulous. Sefer Malachi. See you then.